where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Today I went back to the place where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind a door. And I said, son, never fear, you got a new daddy. Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, Calvary, we don't live here anymore. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Shaddix. I hope the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Him as Savior, has made a difference in your life. He's in the difference-making business. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I shall ask that you begin to read with me in verse number 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. Stand with me out of love and respect for God's Word. The Bible says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now Paul is writing under divine inspiration to new Christians in the church there at Ephesus. And he's telling them, you've gotten saved, you've been born again, therefore I'm testifying in the Lord that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind, having the understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. He said, this same crowd, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Now that word lasciviousness means every, and put uncleanness with it, together means every kind of immoral act and debauchery and perversion. And they said they were doing it with greed and without feeling. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. We're not to be like that crowd. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now that old man is talking about our unsaved person, our old nature, the Adamic nature, the depraved nature. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's talking to Christians that have been saved. We're to put off the old man and we're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, this tells you what to put off. Put away lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put off being angry, and sin not. Put off letting the sun go down on your wrath, holding grudges. Put off giving place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Stop it, he said. But rather, let's go to work, laboring with our hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed with the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now I want you to go back and begin to look in verse 22 with me, and we'll read verse 22, 23, and 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I want to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on the subject, the new man and the new birth. The new man and the new birth. That's when you get the new man. You don't get it from a church because you join it. You become the new man when God saves you and the spirit that is dead in you is quickened and made alive. Now then, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. By the way, an unsaved person is only living with 2/3 of what God intended him to be. God created us body, soul, and spirit. In Adam, the spirit died. We have no relationship with God in sin as sinners, lost. But in Christ, when we're born again, the spirit is made alive. It's quickened. We're born from above. And we can begin to have a relationship with a holy God once again. Our soul that's lost is saved. Our spirit is made alive. And the old man, the body of flesh, is still the body of flesh, and it's still a problem until Jesus comes and raptures us out, or until death kills this old body and puts it in the ground. But while we're here, he wants us to know that we're to be born again, and in the new birth, we become a new man. We have a new nature. Father, help me today as I preach. Fill me with thy spirit. Give me liberty and power to say plainly what you'd have me to say. And Lord, help me not only to preach in the Spirit of God, but the people be Spirit-filled listeners so they won't miss what's being said. I have a message this morning straight from God's Word that will change their life, change their home, change their future, if they will by faith accept you and yield to your Word. Now, Father, fill me and use me, and we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do in our lives for Christ's sake today. We ask you to save every unsaved lost person on this property, and especially those that are listening to my voice this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter 5, the genealogies from Adam to Noah are listed. Every one of those people listed except Enoch died. Every human since Adam is afflicted with that terminal disease called sin. We're sinners by birth and we're sinners by nature. We got it from Adam. We're all in a state of dying. An early explorer named Ponce de Leon set out in the early 1500s with the purpose of trying to discover a fountain of youth. There's a city in Florida, De Leon Springs, Florida, that is named for him. He searched in that area, but he didn't find it. Having failed to discover a fountain of youth, mankind has turned to makeup, cosmetic surgery, and medication. But man's condition remains unchanged. He is in a state of growing old and dying. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's a result of sin. You do know that God made Adam to live forever, and he would have had he not sinned. And because Adam sinned, we became sinners in Adam. And just as Adam began to die, we're dying also. Realizing that man can do nothing to escape the reality of death brought on by our sin, man has turned to drugs, trying to block the reality of sin and death. If mankind is to be saved, something miraculous must take place. Man is standing at the brink of eternity and hell. And like the Philippian jailer, he's crying, "What must I do to be saved?" We seem to be making great improvements in many areas. Science, medicine, and technology are taking giant steps forward. However, man seems to be going backward. He steals and cheats and lies and murders and continues to go downward in character and stability. He's becoming more lascivious and unclean and more greedy in every day and every generation. Then there was hope in a new generation. If they could just be educated, our young people wouldn't have to suffer the privation of the previous generation. And so they began to work to educate them, and parents saying, "Oh, I want better for my young person than I had." So they didn't teach them how to work. They didn't teach them how to worship God. They didn't teach them to believe the Bible. And the new generation, with all of their education, is worse than those before them. This simply proves the unchanging truth from God's Word, that things will never get better with a new generation of people who have the same sin problem of all others before them. What's needed is a people who have been regenerated, transformed, born again. This allows God to make a new man out of the old man, the old sinful man. Now, I want you to know today, our lost condition will not disappear by itself. Our sin problem will not go away. It will never get better by itself. Sin in our lives, undealt with, will fester and rot and eat away at the very life and soul of man until it's dealt with by God Almighty. Sinful man will experience a genuine change only when he can say, "I have been born again." Now, man is still and always will be unable to change himself. Man's not going to be able to change himself. There's been much study in human behavior. Colleges teach courses on human behavior. Grants have been given to conduct research on human behavior. But man still remains unchanged. They've never been able to change the damning nature of man's sin. Society does not understand sin or even acknowledge that sin exists today. Science says that man is merely a product of his environment. A juvenile delinquent is merely an underprivileged youth. Thieves are simply maladjusted people. They've abandoned the idea of the damning effects of sin and Now they say that bad is only undeveloped good. We blamed everything but the real problem. We're so politically correct today, we'll let our families and friends die and go to hell rather than to admit that we're all sinners and all need to be saved. We're so politically correct today, we won't even call the Fort Hood murderer a terrorist. But he is. It's sin that has put us in the mess that we're in. Every human being born into this world has in them and as a part of their being that sinful nature spoken of in the Bible as the old man. Some think that man can be controlled or changed by chemistry. A professor, B.F. Skinner of Harvard University, said years ago, "We're entering the age of chemical control of human behavior. The motivational and emotional conditions of normal life probably will be maintained in any desired state through the use of certain prescribed drugs." Professor B.F. Skinner just fed us a big stick of baloney. The best man has ever done is to effect a few temporary changes in human behavior, but he's never been able to change the fallen nature of man because of Adam's sin. Only God can overcome the damning effects of sin that's in every one of us. Only God through Jesus Christ. Many have rejected God's help. They go on their way in their sin only to live miserable lives that end up in hell. You must not ignore your need. I must not ignore my need of Jesus Christ. For without Jesus Christ, we too will face the wrath of God against our sin in hell forever and forever. Though chemistry and education is not the answer, God offers hope for man. Man can be changed. But not by fountains of youth or drugs or chemistry or by changing his environment or by education. Man's only possible hope for a new life is found in the words of Jesus in John chapter 3 verse 7 when he said, "Ye must be born again." Jesus said that to Nicodemus. Nicodemus wasn't a hoodlum. He wasn't a reprobate. He wasn't a wretched man. Nicodemus was a leader in the Jewish religion. The Bible tells us he was a good man, a religious man. It would have been easier to understand this statement, "You must be born again," if it had been stated concerning Zacchaeus. Well, Zacchaeus was a dishonest tax collector. There's no such thing as a saved tax collector, is there? Not without Jesus. I can understand if this had been said of the woman at the well. She had been married and divorced 5 times and now was living in a shack-up relationship with a man who was not her husband. I could understand if this had been said to the thief on the cross. He was guilty of robbery and murder, the Bible says. I could understand if it was spoken concerning the woman taken in adultery. The law of God condemned her because of her adultery. However, it was said to Nicodemus, who was a devout man, a religious man, a churchgoer, if you please. He was a Pharisee and a teacher of the law of God. He was a tither and a Bible scholar. He spent time daily in fasting and prayer. He was a teacher of the Jewish religious school. And most churches would have been pleased to have him as a member and a teacher. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You have all of this religion. You have all of these outward qualities. But nothing's ever been done to the old man. You must be born again." You can't go to heaven without being born again. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. If it was true of Nicodemus, he must be born again. How much more must it be true of every one of us here this morning? We must be born again. The fact is, the greatest need of our life, your life and mine, is to know that we're saved, to know that we've been born again, to know that we're going to heaven, to know that our sins are forgiven, and everything's all right between me and God because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean when Jesus said, ye must be born again? Let me say, first of all, what it does not mean. He did not mean that just to turn over a new leaf. He did not mean just to try to do better. See, the doing of sin and wrong is the result of our terminal condition brought on by our sin nature. That's inside of us. We are sinners in the old man. Our spirit is dead. Our nature within us is sinful. You can't turn over a new leaf and, quote, get religion and change that. So it's not turning over a new leaf. It doesn't mean just to clean up our morals. All of these are outward things that's wrong about us. The change must begin within, with the old man and the sin nature in us. He did not mean just to join a church and be baptized. There are untold people joining churches and getting baptized today that don't have the foggiest idea of what it is to be saved. It's more than reformation and more than knowledge and more than a social change. God says a miraculous change must take place inside of you that will quicken the dead spirit and give you a new nature, the nature of God. The nature of God's own Son. Now, Jesus knew that, and we must also. In order to get saved, something's got to start within. The new birth is something that happens inside. And it comes from above. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We're to put off the old man after we get saved. After we get saved, we're to turn over that leaf. We're to start casting off some of the works, those works of the old man. But that can't happen until spiritually and rightly, until we've experienced the new birth within. We've been born again. Now, you don't have to be very intelligent to understand what I'm about to say, but it illustrates what I'm trying to point out to you. You cannot change a pig from being a pig by putting Paul Sebastian cologne on him. You cannot change a pig into a lamb by gluing wool on him and calling him a lamb. That pig was born a pig and he's got a pig nature. He's going to automatically love slop and wallow in the mire and the mulch and the manure. That's the pig nature. And that's the old man. For that pig to become a lamb, a miraculous thing would have to take place. Man cannot do it. God would have to have it done, would have to do it. And for a sinner to be saved, for me and you to put on the new man, to be born again, requires a miracle that only God can perform. Some of you are using the Paul Sebastian cologne to try to cover up the old man. Some of you are gluing on Christian skin and hoping that you'll appear as a child of God, but you're still doing the same old thing because the old man is still prevalent in you. There is no new man to counteract that. There's no voice from within to point you to truth. There's not been a quickening of the Spirit. You have no relationship with God. That only begins at the new birth. You must be born again. What does it mean when Jesus said, you must be born again? It means a spiritual change must take place inside the person. It takes place only when we acknowledge that we're sinners and that our sin is against God, and we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. There is a personal acceptance on our part. We call upon Him. We use what faith He gives us, believing that He died for us, and the best we know how, we ask Him to forgive our sins and save our soul. That's our part in the new birth. We can't perform the new birth on ourselves. And the preacher can't perform it on you. It's a work of God in you. But it cannot take place without a personal faith and acceptance of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. When Adam sinned, the spirit in Adam died, and every little baby that was born after Adam had a dead spirit. He had no relationship with God except God opened that door by faith in him. There's no other way of salvation. No other way for man to get to heaven. Jesus didn't die on the cross as a door. He died as the door. How dare us to think that our way is as good as God's way? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh my soul, that spirit must be made alive. That part of us that connects with God. It's got to be quickened by the Spirit. That's what the new birth is. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin were quickened by the Spirit. That's what happened to me when I was 15 years old. And I walked down that aisle and said, preacher, I want to be saved. He said, do you accept Jesus as your Savior? I said, the best I know how, I ask Him to come into my heart and be my Savior. You say, reckon it was done right? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have life or everlasting life. Quit boxing God up into a little box and saying, unless you say exactly certain words. The thief on the cross that Jesus said got saved that day didn't even pray the right prayer. But God knew what he wanted. He wanted to be saved, and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, the new birth. But let me tell you, God won't accept a substitute for the new birth. Remember old Cain became a vagabond because he said, I'm gonna offer an offering of my own hands. He was a farmer. And instead of taking his products, selling them, or trading them for a little lamb that was a picture of Jesus Christ, he just bypassed the lamb and offered the fruit of his field. And God rejected it. I don't believe he got the leftovers and the culls. I believe he probably brought the best he had. But it wasn't Jesus. It wasn't good enough. God rejected it. And I'm here to tell you, anyone who tries to approach God other than by faith in Jesus Christ will be rejected. But there's only one way of salvation. That's through Jesus Christ. And the new birth takes place. The Holy Spirit performs it in us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Instantaneous. It's not a process that takes place over months or years. No more than a birth takes place over months and years. You must be born again. Mrs. Pham went to the hospital last Monday. And last Monday about 5:30, little baby was born. I went to church one Saturday night, in a revival meeting. Went in as a lost sinner, heard the gospel. Realized I was lost. Walked down the aisle and that quick, God performed the miracle of the new birth. Now, understand, by getting saved did not mean that suddenly I knew all that I know now about the Bible and about God. But it did mean that I was born again. Mrs. Pham's little baby is going to have to be taught everything. There's some things the baby will naturally do, but left to themselves, they'll go wrong ultimately. They've got to be taught everything that's right. And we do too. After we get saved, we've got to be taught what the Bible teaches, what's right. That's the reason it's after we're saved we can put off the old man and put on the new man. It's after we're saved we can have the renewing of our mind, because we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that can make it possible for us to understand divine truth. It's a birth from above. It's talking about a change within us made by the Holy Spirit when we acknowledge our sinfulness and by faith accept Jesus as our Savior. It means that we're given a new nature at that moment, and a new life, and a new beginning. It also means that we've been reconciled with a holy God, and He's no longer our enemy, nor are we His enemy. But now we're children of God and heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus. We're a part of God's own family because of the new birth. It means that all my sins have been forgiven, blotted out, washed away, and will never be remembered again by God. I'm sad to say they're too often remembered and used against us by other Christians. But they'll never be used by God. They're forgiven and blotted out. They'll never be used against me. Literally, they do not exist anymore as far as God is concerned. Because of the shed blood of Jesus and His redeeming grace, I've been born again. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I've got to ask you this morning, and I'll be through. Have you been born again? Have you experienced that new birth? Have you been made alive in Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Him alone, asking Him to be your Savior? If you haven't, then you're still living under the control of the old man. You know nothing about the new man because you've never experienced that new birth. Neither will you know anything about heaven unless you're born again. Because no unsaved person, no person without the new birth will be able to enter into heaven. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? You know, because I've been born again, I remember when it happened. I remember sitting in that pew and hearing the Holy Spirit say, "Preacher's talking about you. God is telling you you need to be saved." I felt the tug at my heart. I felt conviction in my soul. I even felt lost because I was. Preacher didn't have any problem convincing me I was a sinner. I knew it, God knew it, Mom and Daddy knew it, and even the old devil knew it. That night, I walked down the aisle and asked Jesus to be my Savior. That night, I was made alive. That night, I was forgiven. That night, I was saved. That night, I received a new man, a new nature. The nature of Christ Himself now lives in me. Does He live in you? Have you accepted Him as Savior? Then if you have, Tell me, what parts of the old man have you put off? See, we want to get saved and go to heaven and hang on to all of our sins and all of our lust and all of our greed and all of our ungodliness. He says, now that you've put on the new man, put off the old. And you notice, God didn't say, now, I'm going to take off the old man. God gave me the new nature. Now he says, you put off the old man. Deal with sin outwardly now. It's right to do it as a Christian. You're not trying to cover it up and pretend. You're doing what God tells you to do. Have you been saved? If so, tell me, what part of the old man have you gotten rid of out of your life? What are those things you used to do as a lost sinner you don't do anymore because you know Jesus is your Savior? That's not getting saved. You're not saved because you put off the old man. It's just evidence that something's happened. Has it? You receive the new man by faith in Jesus Christ, trusting Him and Him alone as Savior. Have you? That's the greatest need of our life. To live our life no matter how much we make or what we accomplish and we never get saved, we're a failure. Because we've wasted our life and we're wasting heaven and facing hell. Because we never heeded the words of Jesus that said, ye must be born again. Father, that's our message this morning. I ask you, Lord God, to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we might look into our own life and go back right now and remember that time when we accepted Jesus as Savior. Many of our people can remember walking down this aisle and bowing their head here at the front and asking you to be their Savior. Many others can remember in their home a soul winner came and there in their home, they invited Jesus to come into their heart and save their soul. Others, like myself, can remember as a boy in another church and in another place at another time being born again. But the truth is, if we've been saved and know it, we can remember when it happened. We may not remember the exact day, but we can remember where it happened and we can remember it happening to us. Now, Lord God, there's some that can't remember because it's never happened. And if they should die as they are, they'd go to hell without hope and without God. I'm asking you this morning to save every unsaved person here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look up here. I wonder how many of you right now can say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I'm not ashamed of it. While everybody looking on, I can raise my